Obama calls out a new direction for America's space program. NASA Administrator Charles Bolden launches the campaign for it. And space contractors and small developers weigh in. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, February 2, 2010. President Obama's 2011 fiscal year budget landed on Capitol Hill yesterday, and one of the most anticipated battles will be the one over NASA. The budget charts a new direction, which could be bad short-term news for some communities entrenched in the government space exploration paradigm, and a boon to commercial spaceflight development. New NASA Administrator and former astronaut Charles Bolden issued a statement regarding the new direction for the agency set forth in the budget, which scraps the Constellation program after an investment of $9 billion and advances greater use of the International Space Station and development of low Earth orbit research and tourism. Citing the Augustine Commission report, which found the Constellation program would fail without massive increases in funding, Bolden remarked, quote, "With this budget and the steps it lays out, the United States and its partners in other nations, in industry and in academia, will sustain a more sustainable and affordable approach to spaceflight through the development of transformative technologies and systems. We will blaze a new trail of discovery and development. We will facilitate the growth of new commercial industries. And we will expand our understanding of the Earth, our solar system, and the universe beyond. To accomplish these objectives, the president has increased NASA's budget over the next 5 years by $6 billion, an extraordinary show of support in these tough budgetary times," unquote. Bolden goes on to paint a picture for the future, one which signals an end to the era of space as a technological race among nations. Quote, "Imagine trips to Mars that take weeks instead of nearly a year, people fanning out across the inner solar system, exploring the moon, asteroids, and Mars nearly simultaneously in a steady stream of firsts. And imagine this being done collaboratively with nations around the world. That is what the president's plan for NASA will enable once we develop the new capabilities to make it a reality," unquote. Bolden also mentions an increased role for NASA in studying climate change in the Earth's atmosphere and of the potential for next-gen ATC to make a difference in actual greenhouse gas emissions. By tonight's 6 o'clock news, you can expect federal lawmakers from states which depend heavily on federally funded space programs to be at battle stations, and probably a less covered aspect of the story will be lawmakers from states banking on commercial spaceflight initiatives. The administration last week displayed awareness of the oncoming fight with some lawmakers. One unnamed administration official last week told the Orlando Sentinel that in the view of President Obama, Congress needs to come to grips with the fact that NASA does not exist to create jobs in their districts. Bolden's entire 10-page statement can be read at nasa.gov. Among the companies that can be expected to take a hit from the new direction in space is ATK, Alliant Tech Systems, which has already begun big layoffs in northern Utah related to the retirement of the shuttle fleet and was counting on Ares to keep it going. Yesterday, the company issued a statement suggesting bewilderment. It says in part, quote, "It is not clear why at this time the nation would consider abandoning a program of such historic promise and capability with so much invested. NASA and its industry partners have made significant progress in Constellation's development, culminating in the successful Ares 1X test flight. Ares is meeting all major milestones. The Ares 1 launch vehicle is an innovative and now proven design with an overriding concern for crew safety. It is 10 times safer than any launch vehicle in existence or on the drawing board." NASA's own Aerospace Safety Advisory Panel recently concluded that the Ares 1 vehicle has been designed from the beginning with a clear emphasis on safety. To abandon Ares 1 as a baseline vehicle for an alternative without demonstrated capability nor proven superiority or even equivalence is unwise and probably not cost-effective. In the weeks and months ahead, we are hopeful that the Congress and administration will work together to deliver a budget that supports a program that capitalizes on the investments the nation has made in the Constellation program, closes the gap in U.S. capability to return to space, and best assures continued U.S. leadership in space. We believe ATK will continue to play a significant role in America's future space exploration," unquote. From the other side, predictably, private spaceflight development interests are pleased, and so far careful not to appear to be gloating. In a statement issued yesterday, the Commercial Spaceflight Federation said it, quote, welcomes the decision by President Barack Obama to place U.S. human spaceflight on a new trajectory with major investments in technology, science, exploration, and commercial spaceflight. As part of this plan, NASA's new Competitive Commercial Crew Initiative will invest $6 billion over 5 years for multiple companies to develop human spaceflight capabilities that will take astronauts to and from the International Space Station, unquote. Federation President Bretton Alexander added, quote, "With President Obama's historic decision, we stand on the threshold of a new era in space. The commercial spaceflight industry is working to extend the legacy of the Wright brothers into space for the mutual benefit of both NASA and the nation," unquote. Up next on ANN, Haiti is the first full test for the U.S. Joint Task Force port opening. Customs and DHS warn business aviation to screen Haitian passengers. And ILFC helps its client airlines participate in relief flights. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 2nd. I'm Paul Platt. Nobody would wish for a magnitude 7 earthquake in a poor island nation filled with unreinforced buildings. But the situation at Haiti's Toussaint Louverture International Airport has provided the first full-scale test of the U.S. Joint Task Force port opening, which opened the airport under the U.S. Transportation Command. Air Force Colonel Patrick Holra, the task force commander, observed, quote, "Something of this magnitude takes the whole team to make it happen. This is, unfortunately, what we were made to do. It is our job to respond to these," unquote. He adds that this is the first time the whole enchilada has been used in operation, starting with a ruined terminal building and a hodgepodge of ad-libbed procedures by relief agencies. The command has restored a semblance of order at the airport, but Holra says it's still not as safe as an airport would normally be because vehicles and pedestrians have to be on the taxiways to unload planes. The most recent stats show the airport has handled at least 12 million pounds of relief supplies, not counting critical supplies medical and relief personnel brought with them. Holra says the Joint Task Force will continue until its services are no longer needed, or until the mission is taken over by other organizations. As 10 Americans sit in a Haitian jail after trying to take 33 children across the border into the Dominican Republic Friday night without required documents, U.S. Customs and Border Protection and the Department of Homeland Security are warning U.S. pilots to properly screen anyone getting on evacuation flights out of Haiti. The agencies in particular warned business aviation interests providing relief flights that under CFR Title 19, pilots of private aircraft are required to electronically transmit passenger and crew manifest information for all flights arriving in or departing the U.S. We're also supposed to take reasonable steps to prevent the boarding of improperly documented aliens. Find more details and a list of required procedures in the text version of this story, dated February 1st, at aero-news.net. International Lease Finance Corporation told all its airline customers worldwide Friday that it is suspending lease rental charges for non-revenue Haiti earthquake disaster relief flights on its aircraft. ILFC owns about 1,000 jets on lease to 175 airlines worldwide. ILFC will waive covered rental charges retroactive to the January 12th earthquake and through the end of this month. The company is also challenging competitors to match or beat its offer. Still ahead, Nancy Pelosi's high-flying parties exposed. Aviation authors will be featured at WAI. And TSA has high standards for its bomb-sniffing dogs, that is. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, February 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. The group Judicial Watch has used a Freedom of Information Act request to get details of the use of military aircraft by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. The U.S. Air Force revealed that her use of private jets has cost $2.1 million over 2 years, including a six-figure tab for expenses including food and alcohol. Highlights scattered among the more than 2,000 documents reveal that Speaker Pelosi, who has been a critic of corporations using aircraft to conduct profitable businesses, has no such reservations about her own spending of taxpayer money. Judicial Watch says she used Air Force aircraft to travel back to her district at an average cost of over $28,000 per flight. Of 103 congressional delegations for which she used an Air Force plane, she brought along family members on 31 of those flights. One junket from Washington, D.C. through Tel Aviv to Baghdad during May of 2008, quote, to discuss matters of mutual concern with government leaders, unquote, included members of Congress and their spouses and cost roughly $18,000 per hour just for the use of the aircraft. That doesn't count purchases including Johnny Walker Red Scotch, Grey Goose Vodka, E&J Brandy, Bailey's Irish Cream, Maker's Mark Whiskey, Crevassier Cognac, Bacardi Light Rum, Jim Beam Whiskey, Beefeater Gin, Dewar's Scotch, Bombay Sapphire Gin, Jack Daniel's Whiskey, Corona Beer, and several bottles of wine. ANN has reported in the past on Pelosi's use of the Air Force as a personal airline, including wasteful last-minute cancellations and changes. After reviewing the documents, Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton commented, quote, Speaker Pelosi has a history of wasting taxpayer funds with her boorish demands for military travel, and these documents suggest the Speaker's congressional delegations are more about partying than anything else, unquote. Attendees at this month's Women in Aviation International Conference will have the chance to meet a number of notable authors and get signed copies of their works. The show is scheduled for Thursday through Saturday, the 25th through the 27th, at Disney's Coronado Springs Resort near Orlando, Florida. Susan Butler is the author of East to the Dawn, which chronicles the life of Amelia Earhart and was the inspiration for last year's movie, Amelia, starring Hilary Swank. Ann Cooper wrote Stars of the Sky, which contains 50 biographies of women pilots and was published in conjunction with WAI. Jonna Doolittle Hopps is the granddaughter of General Jimmy Doolittle. Her book, Just Doing My Job, was published in May 2009. And preserves the personal histories of ordinary citizens who left jobs and families behind to contribute to the war effort. Her earlier biography of her grandfather was titled Calculated Risk, The Extraordinary Life of Jimmy Doolittle. A total of 7 authors were announced. Get details in the text version of this story, dated February 1st, at aero-news.net. And finally today, the TSA is under scrutiny for a decision to keep several dogs on duty at Philadelphia International Airport after they failed to pass tests for certification as bomb sniffers. The TSA says it has an adequate number of certified canine drug sniffers to meet its needs, and while those that don't pass go through remedial training, they're kept patrolling the airport as a visual deterrent. It kind of makes sense. After all, terrorists don't know the dogs they see are not certified bomb sniffers. But the terrorists will know now. Representative Robert Brady, a Pennsylvania Democrat, apparently was having a tough time finding something more important to act indignant about last week. He called the situation at Philadelphia totally ridiculous and wrote a letter asking the TSA, quote, to immediately replace the 3 dogs on duty at PHL with certified animals so that passengers and cargo flying out of our airport can do so safely, unquote. TSA spokeswoman Ann Davis explains, quote, TSA sets the highest canine certification standards in the federal government. As a result, some failures are expected. However, an established remediation program helps get these teams back into compliance, unquote. Hey, wait a minute. TSA has high standards in a remediation program for its dogs? I find that cause for hope. Perhaps one day, they'll have high standards for the humans, too. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, 2008 CFI of the Year Max Trescott comments on General Aviation's contributions to the Haiti relief effort. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.